Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, chapter entitled Talks Between Lord Shiva and Sati. Today we're studying two verses, text 16 and text 17. Text 17 is written on the board. So we'll chant 16 first, read the verse in purport, and then we'll chant 17 together. Text 16. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Tvayoditam Shobhanam Eva Shobhane, Anahuta Up Yabhyanti Bandhushu, Te Yad Yanut Padita Dosha Drishtayo, Baliyasana Atmanya, Madena Manyuna. The great Lord replied, "My dear beautiful wife, you have said that one may go to a friend's house without being invited. And this is true, provided such a friend does not find fault with the guest because of bodily identification and thereby become angry towards him. Purport. Lord Shiva could foresee that as soon as Sati reached her father's house, her father, Daksha, being too puffed up because of bodily identification, would be angry at her presence, and although she was innocent and faultless, he would be mercilessly angry towards her. Lord Shiva warned that since her father was too puffed up by his material possessions, he would be angry, and this would be intolerable for her. Therefore, it was better that she not go. This fact was already experienced by Lord Shiva, because although Lord Shiva was faultless, Daksha had cursed him in so many harsh words." Text 17. Vidya tapo bitta vapur Vaya kulai vidya tapo vitta vapur vaya kulai vidya tapo vitta vapur vaya kulai satam gunai shadhi asattame tarai Satangu naikshat virasattame tarai Satangu naikshat virasattame tarai Smritau patayam Vrutta mana durdrusha Smrito hatayam hitamana durdusha Smrito hatayam hitamana durdusha Stabdha na pashyanti hi dhamma bhuyasam Sabdhana Pashyanti Hidhama Bhuyasam Vidyatapo Vittava Purvayakulai Vidyatapo Vittava Purvayakulai Satangunaikshad Hirasattamettarai Smritau hatayam pitamana durdusha Stabdhana pashyanti hidhama bhuyasam Vidyatapo vittava purvayakulai Satangunaikshadhirasattametarai. Svatau hetayam hetamana durdusha. Stabdhana pashyanti hidhama bhuyasa.
Education.
Education.
Tapa.
Austerity.
Austerity.
Vitta.
Wealth.
Vapu.
Beauty of body, etc.
Vaya.
Youth.
Kulai.
With heritage.
With
heritage. Satam.
Of the pious.
Gunai.
By such qualities.
Shadbhi.
Six.
Asattama itarai.
Having the opposite,
excuse me,
having the opposite result.
To those who are not great souls.
Smita.
Good sense.
Patayam.
Being lost.
Vrittamana durdusha,
blind due to pride.
Stabdha,
being proud.
Na,
not.
Pashyanti, see.
He.
For.
Tama.
The glories.
Guyasam.
Of the great souls. Translation. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind, and thus he loses his good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It may be argued that since Daksha was very learned, wealthy, and austere, and had descended from a very exalted heritage, how could he be unnecessarily angry towards another? The answer is that when the qualities of good education, good parentage, beauty, and sufficient wealth are misplaced in a person who is puffed up by all these possessions, they produce a very bad result. Milk is a very nice food, but when milk is touched by an envious serpent, it becomes poisonous. Similarly, material assets such as education, wealth, beauty, and good parentage are undoubtedly nice, but when they decorate persons of a malicious nature, then they act adversely. Another example given by Chanaka Pandit is that a serpent that has a jewel on its head is still fearful because it is a serpent. A serpent by nature is envious of other living entities, even though they be faultless. When a serpent bites another creature, it is not necessarily because the other creature is at fault. It is the habit of the serpent to bite innocent creatures. Similarly, although Daksha was qualified by many material assets, because he was proud of his possessions and because he was envious, all those qualities were polluted. It is sometimes, therefore, detrimental for a person advancing in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness to possess such material assets. Kunti Devi, while offering prayers to Krishna, addressed him as Akinchana Gochara, one who is easily approached by those who are bereft of all material acquisitions. Material exhaustion is an advantage for advancement in Krishna consciousness, although if one is conscious of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can utilize one's material assets, such as great learning and beauty and exalted ancestry, for the service of the Lord, then such assets become glorious. In other words, unless one is Krishna conscious, all his material possessions are zero. But when this zero is by the side of the Supreme One, it at once increases in value to 10. Unless situated by the side of the Supreme One, zero is always zero. One may add 100 zeros, but the value will still remain zero. Unless one's material assets are used in Krishna consciousness, they may play havoc and degrade the possessor. Om Jnana Tivarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Nidhitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavaidam Vidati Swapati. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Tvayoditam Shobhanam Eva Shobhane, Anahuta Apyavyanti Bandhushu, Tayad Yanat Padita Dosha Drishtayo, Baliya Sanat Nyamadena Manyuna, Vidyatapo Vitta Vapur Vayapkulai, Satan Gunai Shadvira Sattame Tarai, Smritau Hatayam Vitamana Duradusha, Sabdhana Pashanti Hidhama Guyasana. The great Lord replied, "My dear beautiful wife, you have said that one may go to a friend's house without being invited, and this is true, provided such a friend does not find fault with the guest because of bodily identification, and thereby become angry towards him. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind, and thus he loses his good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and the Association of Pure Devotees. I've been asked to speak on these two verses today. The topic is similar, so they've been placed together. The first, we don't have the text of the of verse 16 on the board, but there's one just very nice literary device that's used in the first verse. In the first line, it says, Toyoditam shobhanam eva shobhane. So here, Lord Shiva is speaking sweet words to his wife. It says, Toyoditam shobhanam eva shobhane. So he's addressing her as Shobhana, as beautiful, beautiful one. And he's using the word, also the word Shobhanam, to, which means also truth, to say what you're speaking is truth. Oh beautiful one, you're speaking, oh Shobhana, you're speaking Shobhana. You're speaking the truth. Very nice literary device here. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of so many wonderful qualities. Prati shloki, prati akshari, nana artha koi. So many meanings are there in every verse, every word. Lord Shiva says, my dear beautiful wife, you have said that one may go to a friend's house without being invited, and this is true, provided such a friend does not find fault with the guest because of bodily identification and thereby become angry towards him. So in the previous verses, Sati's a very young girl. You should understand in this case that she's not even old enough to have children yet, according to what we can understand. She's a very young girl. She's married to Lord Shiva, and she died before she was able to have children. Which is, this is the story of how she gave up her body. So she's a young girl, and she's seeing all these beautiful airplanes flying in the sky, going to her father's house for a wonderful big festival. And she wants to dress up in all fancy clothes and ornaments, and she wants to see all her sisters and her parents, and she wants to be part of the social scene there. And so she's approaching her husband for permission. And she's speaking very nicely, that how can it be wrong, even if though I've not been invited, it's my father's house, after all. How can it be wrong to go to your house of your father or of a friend, relative, whatever. So then the second line of this first verse, Lord Shiva's replying, Anahuta abhiyanti bandhushu. So the word here is bandhu, and Srila Prabhupada translates it as friend. But it means more than just friend, it means also relatives. So he's using a term to describe all the different reasons, all the different things that you can go with, all the different places where you can go where you're not invited, are all lumped together in this term bandhu, that if your friend is there, or your relative, then why should you not go, even if you're not invited? So Lord Shiva is saying, that's true, but te yadyanut parita dosha drishtayo baliya sanatma madena manyuna. However, if you're not really welcome there, if that relative is going to be angry with you, then that'll be very very disturbing to you, so better that you not go. And Lord Shiva has personal experience of the attitude of Daksha towards him, that even he said in the previous chapters described that when Daksha came into the assembly where Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and all the demigods were there, all the demigods got up and offered respect to Daksha because he was a very opulent personality. But Lord Brahma didn't get up to show respect because he's the Daksha's father. And Lord Shiva also didn't get up because even though Lord Shiva's a brother of Daksha, he was the son-in-law of Daksha. So he didn't get up because he was meditating on the Supreme Lord. So Daksha became very angry and said very bad words about Lord Shiva. And he said, actually, I didn't really want to marry my daughter to him. So Lord Shiva had experienced that. He knew that even though his daughter was his own daughter, because of he had more or less, he knew that Shiva had, that Daksha had, had renounced his daughter, had given up any connection with her, felt any attachment or sympathy towards her. So naturally, he knew that she would not be well received there, and this would be very shocking to her. She thought it was just she was going to be go there and be welcomed by her parents and friends and have a wonderful social event. But Lord Shiva knew that that Daksha would be angry and Sati would not be able to tolerate that anger. So that's, and then the text 17, Shiva's explaining, very nice explanation here. Vidya tapo vitta vapur vayakulai. So these six things, satam, gunai, shadbir asattame tarai, that these six things are for the satam. So these six things are possessed by the satam. Satam means pious person. Another derivation of that word satam is sadhu. Satam, sadhu, same meaning is there. So these six things are possessed by those who are pious. Vidya, tapo, vitta. Vidya means education, tapa, austerity, vitta means wealth, vapu, beauty, vaya, youth, and kulai, heritage. So undoubtedly, Daksha is pious because he has these things in great abundance. But because he said, these same six things, even though he's pious and he has these six things, because he's envious, they have the opposite result. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind, and thus he loses his good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. So even though one may have this kind of piety where he has all these things, if he's envious, then he'll commit those become not assets, but liabilities. Those great assets become liabilities. They become a cause of committing offense, committing aparad, insulting great personalities, and causing someone to fall down. So, Srila Prabhupada, he gives the He gives a nice example that we've heard so many times about the serpent, that two examples. When the milk is touched by the lips of the serpent, it causes poisonous effect. So this envy, the snake is the personification of envy. So when the this milk of these good qualities is touched by the poison, touched by the snake, then the poison, then they become poisonous, they become detrimental, they become liabilities instead of assets. And also the example of Chanaka Pandit, the serpent has a jewel on its head that one may be very attracted, oh, a very beautiful jewel, but still it's a serpent, and the serpent will has a habit of biting. So then, Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that similarly, although Daksha was qualified by many material assets, all his qualities were polluted. It is sometimes therefore detrimental for a person advancing in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness to possess such material assets. Kunti Devi, while offering prayers to Krishna, addressed him as a Kinchana Gochara, one who is easily approached by those who are bereft of all material acquisitions. So this word, this phrase, Akinchana Gochara, very interesting. Everyone know what a Gochara is? You know what a go is? A go is a cow. And a chara is a pasture. It's the area where the go is able to, he can, if there's a fence around the area, the cow is there, he can go anywhere in the pasture to get grass to eat. That's the limit. There's some limit. Go chara. He's moving. Chara means moving. So it's the area in which the cow moves. So that grass, that cow can acquire it very easily. He just has to walk over and get it. But anything outside the pasture is not accessible to him. So gochara means attainable. Something is within the pasture is attainable by the cow, gochara. So similarly, akinchana gochara is the name for Krishna, that he's attainable by someone who's akinchana. Just like the cow can very easily get grass in the pasture, so someone who is materially bereft, akinchana means just like in Bengali, kichuna, right? Akinchana. Kinchana means something, at least something. This is the Sanskrit word kinchana. Akinchana means nothing at all. So someone who has nothing at all, then he can very easily achieve Krishna, just like the cow can very easily get the grass in the pasture. He's available. Of course, the cow still has to walk over and take. But he's attainable by someone who is Krishna is attainable by someone who is a kinchana. So this verse is used, this expression is used by Kunti Devi in a very famous verse. Janmaishraya Shuta Shrivir Edamana Madak Puman Naivarhat Abhidatung Vai Twama Kinshana Gochara Gocharam. So for these same six assets with different terms used in that verse. Janma means birth, that's kulai. Janma Aishvarya. Aishvarya means is vitta, wealth. Shruta, education, vidya. Shrivir, or Shri, means beauty. So that's vapu, and also to some extent vaya, youth. This is, and the extra one there is tapa, austerity. This is also an opulence. But Kunti Devi is especially emphasizing these four. Janmaishraya Shuta, Shibir, Edamana Madak Puman. Edamana means increasing. When these four things increase, they cause bewilderment. This is an axiomatic truth. When material opulence is increased, then it causes bewilderment. Naeva arhati abhidhatum. Abhidhatum means helplessly calling out. It's not possible for someone who has so many opulences to feel helpless. How you can feel helpless that it's a hot sun, I can't go to Tarnpur today because of a hot sun, I'm feeling helpless. But if you have an AC car, then you don't feel helpless, right? That you have that, that you can't go to Tarnpur. So if you don't have any material possessions, if you don't have any of these opulences, then you can helplessly call out to Krishna, I have nothing. You helplessly call out to Krishna, I have nothing, please, you have to save me. Because you are